You should know better.
I would like to call the meeting to order. This is the Design Review Board meeting for February 14, 2012. Madam Secretary, could we have roll call, please?
Member Branch? Member Brown?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Smith?
Here.
Member Wignott?
Here.
Vice Chair Messner? Chair Herrera?
Here. Okay, with that, we'll move to administrative agenda. B1, meeting minutes.
I'll move for approval of the minutes of
24th.
January 24th.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion by Member Schneider, seconded by Member Smith. Is there any changes to the minutes? I'll be ready. No changes. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That was the B1 meeting minutes. But these will move to.
Bring apples next time.
Okay. We'll move on to B2, Street Tree Subcommittee Report. Chris?
Thank you. No meeting today, but our next meeting will be February 28th at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. B3, Planning Director Report.
Thank you, Chair Herrera, members of the board. Just a few notes for you today. First and foremost, on February 9th, the City Council's extended outreach for the Design Review Board positions that are up for reappointment. That application period had ended, and we received several applications, actually, for both positions that are out there now. I don't know the next date for City Council action, but as soon as I know that, we'll be notifying you of that date. And the only other thing I have for you, previously we have had a meeting scheduled for February 28th. We didn't have any new items requested for that meeting, so we're going to go ahead and cancel that meeting, which means I'm going to ask the Street Tree Subcommittee when you'd like to move your meeting to. We can move it to the next meeting on March 13th if you wish, or if you'd like to keep it the second meeting of the month, we can move it out to March 27th, whichever one works for the committee.
March 13th is okay with me. I don't know about you.
I guess. Whatever. What about Bill
Malar? We'll confirm with him, or we'll notify of him of it and make sure that he's there.
All right.
So okay. March 13th works for you?
Okay. So then our next meeting will be March 13th, okay. 2 o'clock.
And if I could go ahead and take that and segue into item C, review of agenda and projected agenda. The agenda today is quite limited. We do expect every single one of our applicants to be here. And again, February 28th is going to be canceled, so March 13th is the next regularly scheduled meeting that we now have. And with that, that concludes my report to you.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Okay, with that, we'll move to D, public comment. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It is requested that each speaker complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording clerk. Reasonable time limits are imposed on each topic and each speaker in accordance with the provisions of the Ralph M. Brown Act. No actions or discussion may take place by the Design Review Board on any item not on the posted agenda. The Design Review Board may respond to statements made or questions asked and may direct the staff to report back on the topic at a future meeting. Okay, no public comment, okay. With that, we move to e-consent calendar.
Okay.
You want?
Thank you, Chair Herrera.
Sure.
I pulled consent calendar duty today. And we looked at Design Review Board Permit Number 11-152 DRB, the Bluffs Residence, 315 Elderberry Drive. And there are a couple of items that they had was they were substituting some different facade or plan styles. So on lot 41, they had originally called for the 2B rustic, and at the last meeting, they had proposed the farmhouse style, the 3C farmhouse, and at that time, we had talked about it, rejected it, and asked them to, no, I'm sorry, that was Lot 56. Let me back up. Lot 56, they were proposing the 5C farmhouse, changing it to the villa. We didn't like it. We talked about it and suggested that they turn to the plan type 3C farmhouse, which they did. And then on Lot 41, which is 7714 Kestrel Lane, there was a comment from one of the owners. Then they thought that the style that the developer was changing it to was too similar to their house, so they reexamined it and they came back, and they're substituting for, instead of the 3C farmhouse, they're doing the 3A villa. I apologize, I don't have plans to show you, but this does create the diversity that was wanted there at the site. And they've also have said they're going to relocate the storage bins at the southern end of the subdivision that they had. And so based on that, I recommend the board grant them final approval.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion by Member Smith, seconded by Member Schneider. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. With that, we'll move to F1, sign calendar. F1.
Sign subcommittee met today and reviewed a new sign for AC4 Fitness at 52 North Fairview Avenue. We are requesting a motion for final approval with conditions that the two wall signs be reduced in size so that the AC4 text be not more than 18 inches high as opposed to the 22.5 they had proposed. We are also requesting that the monument sign be done in a non-translucent material, the background in a non-translucent material, in a matte off-white color with the inner blue circle AC4 and the orange fitness ribbon all to be done in a 3/4 inch punch through material. That will be the only part that lights up out of the sign. So that is a motion for approval, for final approval to be with conditions to be confirmed by staff.
Okay. Do we need a second on that one?
Second.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion by Member Schneider, seconded by Member Brown. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Question.
Yes.
Will this project be coming back to the DRB for the change of use at all, or are we just seeing the sign application?
Let's finish the vote, but the quick answer is no. The change of use is separate. It's not changing the physical structure at all. The exterior of the structure.
Okay, so yes on the issue of the sign. Can I then ask the question as far as the staff reviewed the parking requirement for the change of use from a bank to a fitness center and concluded that the parking there is adequate?
Separate issue. Staff is still going through that review at this point in time, but this the question before the DRB right now is the sign itself adequate?
Right. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move to G, revised final calendar. We have none. With this, we'll move to H, final calendar. Madam Secretary, will you announce the item, please?
Item H1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-129 DRB, Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital Medical Office Building, located at 5333 Hollister Avenue. APN 065-090-023.
Okay, has everyone visited the site?
Yes.
Everyone has visited the site. No discussions with the applicants?
No.
Nope. I've visited the site as well. Okay. Cindy,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This applicant was last before you on January 10th, at which time they received preliminary approval. They're back. The plans before you are just the sheets that have been revised. They've also provided text which describes the changes and progress that they've made since they last saw you. They're here today to begin the final approval process. And just as a reminder, the comments that you made when you granted preliminary approval related to more detail on the parking lot lighting, a study of the parapets, and also a study of the glass color. Thank you.
Okay. Microphone's on. There you go.
Thank you, Cindy. Good afternoon, members of the Design Review Board. To reiterate what Cindy had said, we do not expect final approval today. We're here to solicit feedback, get some more instruction, direction regarding detail. The team here also has some questions regarding the extent of construction drawings you need to see, and with the extent of civil drawings you need to see to reach final approval with our subsequent hearing. Of course, I'll defer to the architects to, you know, with the questions for further detail. But here we have Scott and Dan from SWA, Martha from Arcadia. We also have Jake Rowe from Pacific Medical Buildings, and Ron Biscaro and Diane Wisby from Cottage Health Systems to answer any other questions you may have. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. You should each have a half-size set of plans in front of you. And just to update the DRB as to where we are, after our last meeting a month ago, we've begun constructing documents. And we wanted to keep this appointment only to come back before you and just get your input and advice on some things that are affecting design as we go through the detailing of the building. And which you're seeing in the first couple pages here are our very preliminary civil drawings. The first sheet is our grading plan, our first cut of it. And I'm not sure how much detail you typically like to get into on the civil plans in a hearing such as this. But in general, we're draining away from the building, and on the north side, we're draining to a midpoint between the back of walk and the north side of the building. And that, of course, will be drained to the storm drain. So we'll refine this as we go forward. I'm not sure how much more we need to cover on this. On the following page are the section views. And the third page is the first cut of the utility plan. And again, just to remind where we were on this project previously, we're still showing the transformer to the southwest of the building on the island. And you'll notice now that our utility connections are proposed to Patterson Avenue with backflows and other site appurtenances on the east side of the building. And we'll fine-tune those with the architecture in more detail as we go forward and look at how to screen those elements. So again, I'm not sure how much of a discussion to get into with, as these are very preliminary, but again, we'll present refined versions as we go forward.
I mean, we're an aesthetic board, generally, so, you know, things that can be seen, we want to understand how you want to deal with those kind of issues. So.
Okay, great.
And obviously, we want to know conceptually how you're going to deal with your stormwater management and stuff like that. But.
The following page is the site plan, and it looks much as it did before. We've just incorporated the seating element at the southwest of the building.
What sheet number are you on, please?
The title is A-100. I believe that's the fourth page in. But again, the rest of the site plan things look much as they did before. trash enclosures in the same spot. And the building envelope is being refined as we move along with construction documents. And this case is much the same with the accompanying floor plans on the following page. Ground floor plan, second floor plan, and roof plan. But I think where we'd like to focus our attention is the following elevation sheet, A-301. And that should be a color sheet in your half-size set. And what we did here is respond to the previous round of comments regarding the elevation of the parapet heights and to add some variation in those. So what we've done with this brown center section, it's higher than the adjacent lighter colored sections, and then the stone elements are higher still, but all these have been lowered relative to their previous positions. So the 34-foot height at the left stone element, which is our stair tower, is the same height as it was previously. So we're lowering the parapet heights to give you that variation. And the differences, as you can see on the north side, vary from a 1 foot difference to 18 inches where the stone is adjacent to a stucco clad wall.
Do we have a sample of what the equipment screen is?
We don't yet.
It's expected to be?
Expected to be metal panel.
Okay. Of some color?
We haven't determined the color yet.
Okay.
Would you like to see, you'd like to see the profile of the screen itself? We can bring that in to our next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can have, if you have a material, if it's like, if it's that, you know, kind of matched up kind of aluminum or something, and then just we see the detail.
Okay, great. Okay, continuing on A301, the east elevation shows similar variation between the stone, the adjacent stucco, and then towards the north side, there's yet another step down as we move up north on Patterson. And the next page, A3-0.2, shows both the south and the west elevations. And again, a similar treatment has been done here where we have lowered the parapet heights in relation to each other so that we get more of a variation along the elevation. And again, we're trying to make the colors representative, but as you know, the printouts are always variable in terms of the color. And we'll go over the materials board towards the end to show those colors. The following page are a couple of perspective views.
One question, does, on the perspective views, does this also include that equipment screen? Like, in other words, look from the perspective looking at this, it totally hides the equipment screen. Is that
right?
Is that, am I looking at that accurately?
No, our equipment screen is part of the model, and this is a view of that model.
Right. So
it's a pretty low eye level, though. So
yeah,
to get a true perspective of what you would see from where, we'd have to do a more detailed study and,
no,
be,
I understand.
And step back.
But I wasn't asking for, you know, real deep. I'm just saying, from the viewpoint. Pardon me? Oh,
right.
I see. Okay, yeah, so it is there. Okay, I got it. I got it. Thank you. That answers my question perfectly.
Okay, great. And what we wanted to share with you on these perspective views on sheet A-3.10, mm-hmm. where our schematic model from the previous presentations didn't have thicknesses of mullions. We're adding those in now as we develop the various facades, mm-hmm. and refining the rhythm and spacing of the mullion elements. And this, again, is another attempt to try to represent the color that we've revised. One of our comments from before was that there was too much contrast between the glass color in the building and the spandrel color in the glass. So we've gone to more medium tones of green, and we'll again show that on the materials board. So again, the shadow detail on this, on these perspectives helps to illustrate where we've got mullions a little bit deeper than in other spots.
Can you tell me where your trash enclosure is in relation to these?
The following pages are the preliminary building sections. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a quick question on anticipated hours of operation for the medical building? Is this 7 days a week during primarily during daylight hours, or what is the usage?
I expect it will be similar to the current usage. Most of the offices, staff start arriving between 8 and 8:30. Offices are typically open from 8:30 to 5, and so by 5:30 the building's pretty much vacant.
So driving along Hollister or Patterson in the evening or later at night, most of these offices will be dark. I mean, the streetscape will tend to be a dark building, similar to the building that's there now.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know how much of that got on the microphone, but the hours were 8:30 to 5. Again, the section view on A401 is preliminary. We don't have the mechanical equipment size just yet, but we'll put those units on as soon as they do, as soon as they are sized. Otherwise, it's – oh, go ahead.
Are we – I assume we're anticipating that we really do need that high of a mechanical screen in order to screen the equipment? Is that
right.
The expectation?
Exactly. The equipment screen is just as high as we need it to be to screen that equipment.
Yeah, it'd be nice to pull that down a little bit, but obviously we don't want to expose – equipment either, so.
Right. Okay, right now it's at the same height as we anticipate the equipment being.
Okay.
Even though visually from the ground you could go with a lower screen and not have it be seen, but we want to err on the side of caution to start out with. Just a point about the section. The upper section shows, well, it's not going to impact the design, but we typically have one stair going to the roof through a hatch. And that will be hidden in the screen as well. The following sheet are some wall sections on A-4.20. And I'd like to draw your attention to detail number one. And this is a section through the southwest entry through the fin element. And where in the previous presentations we just showed the fins as simple block shapes, now we're showing some detail in terms of the brise soleil and the profile of it. Mm-hmm. So we're showing it made of these square tubular elements. And in terms of lighting, we want to back off from our previous scheme of embedding LEDs in those screen elements. We think these types of rotted or baguette-style louvers will be much better lit from above. So that's what we're working on.
The light fixture that we see up in the top that you have on there.
Right. I think we're going to end up with two lights, a wall wash down the face and another broader light down the body of these of the brise soleil elements.
Mm-hmm.
So this the wall section one, what elevation is that?
So
what you're saying is that in response to Bob's question is that the building is going to be externally lit at night.
Yes, it will be.
The whole building?
We're just accenting some of the stone elements, and we presented that as part of the previous presentation.
And that was acceptable to the DRB?
We're still working on the sconce fixtures.
We had made comments on the kind of the light, so that's kind of a passive acceptance.
Okay. I'm just curious.
It wasn't the entire exterior of the building being lit. It was, there are sconces on, I think, the stone elements and at the entries and whatever, so there's some limited. It's not the whole thing glowing.
Okay. Checking.
And I believe they were all downlights, right?
Right. With no uplighting. I think this exhibit from the previous presentation might help. All the numbered symbols are the locations of the surface-mounted sconces.
Thank you.
Sure. So again, the canopy at the southwest is being refined as we go. Right now, it's an open, louvered system. The two sections to the left of detail number one show some of our other conditions. Profiles of the eyebrows above storefront windows. And then on the far left, the last detail number three is a typical section through a curtain wall, again, with the eyebrow attachment. And if you look at section number three, you'll see some extrusions attached to the face of the curtain wall that help add interest, and we're building up some of the dimension on the face of those mullions to add some shadow detail and some additional interest to the facades.
Mm-hmm. What is their material?
It's aluminum.
Just aluminum. Right. Is it what color aluminum? Just the regular color aluminum?
Yeah, we'll show you the colors on our board. Okay. Yeah, it's a silver.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's a Kynar, a painted finish baked on. And the next sheet, A421, are some other section views, but very similar to the previous in terms of the various conditions that they show. So again, we're looking at two different treatments of the eyebrow, solid for the most part, and then the louvered at the southwest. And the last sheet in your half-size package is the preliminary photometrics.
Ruh-roh.
And this just deals with the building light itself.
Right, exactly. And what we would look for on this photometric is some guidance from you as to the maximum light levels at the ground that you would typically like to see.
The only thing I see are the because of the proximity of the wall sconces at the northwest corner and the southeast corner, mm-hmm. we're getting a fairly hot spot at those two corners, you know, at the 5.5 and 6.0 range or 6.6 or something. So probably, short of eliminating a fixture, maybe downsize those wattage of those bulbs or something maybe.
Sure. And what level are you looking for?
I think we like zero foot candles at the property line.
At the property line. Okay.
Well, so but that, but
you're pretty close right at that as well. Separate the corner.
You know, I guess I'd like to get down. You know, I mean, everything else is in the 2-3 range. No, no, I'm not talking at property line. I'm talking at...
Like up here?
Oh, yeah.
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 You know, so... Mm-hmm. As opposed to having a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, it just needs okay. to slow down a little bit.
Okay.
But I think overall it's quite well done. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, just our first shot at it, and we'll continue to refine that per the yeah. per your good direction.
You know, you've got some fours at the entry, and I think that's probably appropriate. So,
okay. Okay. I'd like to have Scott go through the materials board with you.
Okay, sure. I wanted to add about the exterior lighting that our initial pass is we were trying to illuminate the stone basically all the way from the top to the bottom to show some of that texture and highlight the corners of the building. And now we've gotten closer to achieving less light at the ground level by graduating the level of light down the face of the wall. We'd still like to not just have a light, you know, an illuminated area up toward the top of the 30-foot height, but still take it, you know, good ways down the building for a natural-looking, you know, lighting effect.
Yeah, so we're still refining as to how to get that even coverage. So it may end up having us change the fixture, which is this little box-shaped fixture that we showed last time. But we're still looking at that to get a more even wash on the stone.
Thanks. So these are the materials for the building, and starting off with some of these we've had for quite some time and on our previous materials board, like the most of these paint colors for the stucco walls and the stone that we had on the last material board as well. The glass, we've chosen a warmer, a greener tone to complement the browns and the stone color. And then for the spandrel conditions, when we have a soffits or there's something behind the windows, we've found a coating that can go on the fourth surface of the glass that will still allow it to look about as similar to vision glass as possible. By putting on the fourth surface, you still get some reflection like you'd have with a regular window too. And then also here we have the mullion finish. It's a baked on finish because we're fairly close to the coast. And then the sconces, we've selected a silver finish to be as close as we can to the mullion finish. And then some paving colors for the hardscape plan that I understand Martha will get into. If we go back to the paint colors again, the white and the dry creek and the hope chest here, they're from the hospital that's under construction. We, you know, adopted those colors. And we've been doing some closer studies of our amassing, and what we're finding is that we'd like to consider and get your feedback on this cappuccino shade or an even lighter shade for the masses that happen in the center with the vertical windows. We feel that that would allow that mass to really read, still read as its own mass and different, but to be a little more complementary with the rest of the scheme, with the way our massing is. We don't want it to look too different, like it's part of a different building. The last point to make about this materials board is the stone pattern. Here, as we're looking at doing something that's horizontal to really complement the language of the building, the scale would probably be about a maximum of 2 feet in any direction for a piece of stone, and that really helps because we have a lot of areas that are only, say, 5 feet tall at the stone corners that were incorporated in the project fairly recently. So that way we wouldn't be left with some small pieces or an awkward piece that's really too long for the scale of the zone that it's in. We're also proposing that the stone, even though here it's vertically placed on the board, that they'd be running mostly horizontally except for some smaller pieces. And this texture here is representative too, just a natural split face where the edges vary And we don't need a joint, any thickness of a mortar joint, so we'd like to just, you know, butt one stone up against another, so we'd have that interplay of texture and shadows between one course and another.
And if you just point out our silvers.
Oh, yes. Again, the mullion color for all of, also I mentioned for the mullions, but also for the sunshades too. And then this is the lighting.
Would you describe this color where cappuccino, where that is on the, that's that one. Okay.
Right.
Exactly.
And so where is this one proposed?
This is proposed as substitute.
Oh, for the cappuccino?
For this one.
Oh, I see. Oh, interesting.
My personal preference, I like the deeper, richer tone a little better than the lighter one, even though it may not be exact what the hospital is doing. I think it's going to just have a nicer base to it. The white's a little stark, and that scares me a little, and I might want to tone it down just a little, which may mean you end up adjusting the mid-range color. And I'm looking at the elevations at the moment and not seeing where all three colors are going, so.
The white happens at the corners at the entrance elements, the ones that are
here.
That are sort of like frames, kind of L shapes.
Oh, and then the rest of the building is the mid-range?
Yeah, the mid-range.
So this is just the entry and the element out by the intersection.
Right. Each of those two corners. And then the Dry Creek is the most prevalent color, the stucco with the ribbon windows. Mm-hmm. And then the Hope Chest or the Cappuccino is where we have the vertical windows that happens in the center.
I agree with Carl. To tell you the truth, I like the Cappuccino for that center element, to tell you the truth. I've kind of liked that from the beginning. And the white, yeah, it is pretty stark. It would be nice if it was softened a bit.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify really quick. The top color, Hope Chest, is what the hospital has, the darker one, as well as what's on the plans. The middle one, Cappuccino, is what we're entertaining to see if maybe a lighter.
My mistake. I mean Hope Chest.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, on the stone pattern, you're going to just lay them like blocks going up the building, the way I see it there.
Right.
My personal opinion, I'd like to see something different. That's too much blending of the scale with the building itself. I mean, if you had some horizontal, some vertical, make a slight different pattern out of it, but yet, because that stone has that natural look, and that pattern you have there makes it put more man-made. And if you break that up, it actually enhances in the rest of the building. It all plays off each other. I'm not sure what the pattern I'm talking about, but I've seen somewhere go here and vertical, and you just turn them around. The size you're talking about is fine. I think sets with the building, but mm-hmm. I think you got to come up with a different.
I think what you're talking about is a more traditional stone pattern, you know, 5-point or something like that, as opposed to this, which is very horizontal. I mean, I personally don't mind this, so it's.
I just think it would. It's too.
Too machine looking.
Too machine looking,
yeah.
And I think it would take away from the building itself, which you've got some nice patterns and things on the building, and you break that up, it enhances everything. It just has an overall better feel.
Yeah, I would go along with Chris on that. I think because it would give it'd be a nice little bit of a contrast or juxtaposition of natural with the man made.
That's it.
Okay.
These are the malting samples.
Is that in this roll here?
Where, how could I get those?
Oh, yes.
So I wanted to show you, we've done some studies of the stone to selected elevations and found some images to show get a better idea of how it could end up looking on the building. So this is the option that's on the materials board, so you can see the scale of how it would look and how it can relate to the geometry of the building and the openings. And then, that's the same project. It's the photograph, the stones in the photograph are a smaller scale, though. They're not as tall as what we're proposing. And then this is a more traditional example where the stones there are, the small ones are really a lot smaller in order that the large ones, because there's so much variation in the pattern, the large one can only be so large on this project that makes the small ones be smaller. Yeah, this is a more typical pattern. Yeah, just like this version here. Yeah, so they go from about.
There's less horizontal elements, if you will.
Yeah, I think what Chris was talking about, too, is some that, because even with this, it's kind of a random, I guess you'd call it a random ashlar. And it'd be nice if some of those pieces, instead of being all horizontal, if some of them occasionally were vertical.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Yeah. Massive, but that just throws
just
things off.
Here and there.
Just like a flavor, just a seasoning.
No, they're just veneer.
May I ask a question to the board? This sketch here provided on the CNM board below the sandstone sample, is that too methodic or almost too not irregular enough is what I wanted to say, because it does incorporate some vertical elements in that sketch, so I'm not sure if maybe.
Well, no, but that's a coursed, that's almost a coursed ashlar. In other words, you have regular horizontal joints that run throughout.
The horizontal joints are continuous.
Yeah, whereas this other one here, the horizontal joints are discontinuous so well, and it, if a person was a stonemason, or my granddad was a stonemason, and from what he would have known, this would have been called random ashlar, whereas that would be a coursed ashlar. Maybe I'm not getting the exact term right, but I think what Member Messner was talking about, and I kind of agree, is the random is nice, but it would be nice just to have a seasoned with some of those. Instead of running, because they all run horizontal, mm-hmm. If some of them were vertical, mm-hmm. Just kind of sprinkled. If I don't mean to talk for you, Chris.
No, that's fine. You're getting the right better words than I'm saying. I just know what I've seen, and I don't have my book in front of me, but I've seen all the different patterns, and they have different names, and it's just almost like lame bricks, you know?
Right. Yeah. Part of that. The reason we went with the course, too, was that we need some expansion joints running horizontally in the project. And when you have a really diagonal random pattern, it gets broken up by those horizontals. But if we did something in between.
Yeah, if you can just break it a little, I think would have a better, because those are nice. Those stone features are nice. And with all the other elements on there, I think it would just make it better.
I guess one question I would have is, what is the stone? Is the stonework that's being constructed on the hospital, the main hospital, what pattern is being used there?
It's I might have a drawing, but it's.
It's actually similar to the sketch on the CNN board. It's very. I'm not a mason, but thank you.
Coursed ashlar, so you have a series of horizontal lines, and then the length of the stones varies.
Yeah.
But the stone on the hospital is not as massive as what's on here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's more.
See, if the stonework was smaller, then it would. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But we're talking, you know, from the street and everything.
Yeah, the stone in the hospital is more like.
Little pieces, accentuated pieces.
Separate right. From the building.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
More randomness would be better.
Mm-hmm. Not heavy, though.
Well, it would make a nice juxtaposition. I mean, it's a nice, you know, nice-looking project, and
I
think it would be something of an enhancement just to have, it's kind of a little more natural, you know, juxtaposition. That's the best way I could say.
Okay, I think we've covered the architectural piece now. Martha DeGasis will go ahead and go through the landscape.
The sheet that you have before you is just an updated sheet. I've done a little more detailing on the paving patterns. So what you're looking at is represented on Scott's board there by the three concrete colors, and we're proposing to have score lines as shown, and then these different colors and or textures. There might be two colors and one sandblast to represent the third color of paving. So it's this sort of syncopated bands of colored concrete that would also relate exactly to the different projections of the building and so on. So I think that's going to enliven the entry paving on the south side of the building nicely. And in addition, we're proposing to use the lightest color, which is the sandstone color represented on the color board there, for the paving through the olive grove and all the just the basic sidewalk paving throughout, edging the parking lot and so on. And then once again, I think Member Brown didn't see the little patio that we're proposing outside the entry lobby, so that'll have a little seat wall, concrete seat wall, little sandstone wall to match the building sandstone that kind of protects it from the street. And then an olive tree in the center there, and that olive tree then aligns with the olive trees in the diagonally placed grove there. So that's where we are on the paving pattern.
I noticed on your layout legend, item number four is decomposed granite paving, but I don't find
The legend actually represents the hospital side and this side, so we don't have decomposed granite paving on the medical office building side.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we have no decomposed granite over here.
What's the height and size of that transformer?
I can't answer that.
Don't know offhand. Typically 6-7 feet.
Any plans to paint it, look artistic, just disguise it?
We currently have a planted pittosporum silver sheen around it, so that will mask it, if you will. We've spoken but have not explored more deeply having some sort of decorative, maybe horizontal slat screen around it.
All right.
Or green screen? This is an option. I'm not definitive.
I'm not a big fan of the green screen personally, but I'd rather have a solid hedge. I mean, I think you get the same effect without the metal. Yes, it will. That will cover it. I'm saying that one side's going to remain open as usual, though.
And my last question is on the drains. I meant to ask earlier on the parking lot area. Is there any just straight out the drain, the oils and stuff, are going to drain right in there? Any filtering, anything?
I'm not the civil, but I'm sure that the stormwater quality methods will be used, so they'll be filtered.
Okay. We can get you a cut sheet on the clarifier or other equipment.
Okay.
I think we should clarify on the paving colors. We're looking at three tones. We don't know yet whether there'll be three distinct separate color admixes or maybe two admixes with one of them having a sandblast treatment or a stain or other type of treatment, so we're still developing that.
Any salt rock finish or anything pitted?
I didn't hear.
On the sidewalk?
He's asking about rock salt, potentially.
No, what we would use would be like a surface retarder that would give a sandblasted look on one set of the panels, and then the other two would be color differences and probably a medium broom finish, a non-slip finish.
Do we have any more questions? No more questions. Any comments? No more comments. Okay.
Thank you. Well, if we could get the board's guidance on how much more we would need to present. Obviously, we're not looking for final today, but how much more we would need to present in the way of documents, details that have an aesthetic effect in the next package. And I understand you don't typically look for mechanical and electrical plans in that set. Yeah. So it would be mostly architectural.
Architectural details, so, you know, mullion details, you know, details of the sunscreens, you know, canopies, you know, all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Parapet caps.
And in terms of landscape, how much more material would you looking for details?
Yeah.
Of those elements?
We've never seen that.
Like you've got quite a bit of those already.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're there on that.
Okay, great.
I guess it's been a revised lighting plan. Yeah.
Right.
Also the drainage plan, if you get some of that.
With tagging on that question of drainage, I know that it's in the DRB guidelines and bylaws to see civil to make a final approval. So with that, and provided that we give you some more specifications regarding drainage, are the civil plans as they are in front of you today to your liking to make a final?
Okay. I would say so.
All right. Great. Thank you.
It's typically where we really, I can't speak for the board, it's just my observation that where we tend to get really focused in on the civil is like where there's like a water course nearby, you know, and we get concerned about that. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, we don't have to vote on this.
It would just be a motion to continue, and that there's any additional comments that you'd like them to focus on for the return.
So when they come back, they'll be for final.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. It's on the final calendar today, so just continue to be in the final calendar. The only comment that I think staff would have as well is we didn't hear any general agreement about colors and materials. Are we going the right direction? Is there a general nodding that this is acceptable just for the applicant's benefit?
I'm wondering, since I agree with the architects on the colors, if we could see a revised color scheme. You're proposing is not the – is the – what we have in front of us is the darker color, the one on top, right? That's in – right. So I'm wondering if it would be helpful if we could see what you propose so that we could contrast it with what we
have. I thought they were proposing the secondary
they
color.
They are, but we don't, right. But in our thing here, it's not that. It's the darker, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think a lot of us have preferred the darker Hope Chest.
Right, but the Hope Chest is what we see. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one that's proposed.
Right.
On the current plans.
Right.
And I think
the white is the issue.
If I understood correctly, I think we're all in, as a board, all in agreement on the colors with the exception of the white being a little bit too bright, which if you tone it down may necessitate changing that mid color. But other than that, I think the scheme's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like the change in the glass color.
Mm-hmm.
That's much better.
So if we're ready to move to a motion just for the applicant's benefit, the next meeting that we do have is March 13th. If that's going to be too soon, March 27th would be the meeting after that, and I could go forward if you wish.
Yeah, if we could get March 27th, that'd be good.
Okay.
All right. March 27th. And you wanted to see a change in the stonework, too, to a more random, yes. Random pattern?
Yeah. That'll make that part of the motion.
All right. I'll move to continue to the March 27th meeting. With the caveat that the colors we mentioned get restudied, most notably the white color get toned down, and that the stone pattern gets revisited. I think that was it. The rest is just going to be enhanced drawing, so I think that's the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Right.
Was there an issue with the photometrics too? We wanted to see a
revised, right?
Yeah.
For those particular areas.
And then, with regard to site drainage, are we okay with what's being proposed? I mean, do we know what's being proposed?
Yeah,
I guess it looks like the parking lot is actually the hospital parking lot. I mean, the drains that are shown are not for this medical office building, but they're for the adjacent.
Well, there's also
parking that's with the hospital.
There's also drains in that grove area where the old MOB used to be.
Right.
So we need to see that as
well. So we don't have any comments pertinent to the medical office building, is what I'm hearing.
I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't see any.
Okay, so we have a motion by Member Branch, seconded by Member Smith. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have just completed H1. With this, we move to I, preliminary calendar. We have none. With this, we move to J, conceptual preliminary calendar, which would be J1. Madam Secretary, will you announce the item, please?
Item J1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 12-001-DRB, Philip Edition, located at 140 Carlo Drive, APN 077-214-001.
Okay. Yeah, we go.
Hello, Roderick.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Has everyone visited the site?
I did not make it by the site.
I have, yes.
I did. Is anybody, how do you have any?
I visited the site.
Any discussions with the applicant?
No discussions with the applicant, but I did have a discussion with a neighbor that was, I think it was the same neighbor that email was sent from.
Okay.
I also had a discussion with that neighbor.
Okay. Okay.
But, and no discussion with the applicant?
Okay. I visited the site and had no discussions. Okay, with that, we'll go with Brian.
Hi, good afternoon, Board. Before you, the property includes a 1,300-square-foot residence and an existing attached 470-square-foot two-car garage. It's on a 7,840-square-foot lot in the 8R1 zone district. So the applicant proposes to construct 604 square feet of additions, consisting of 159 square feet of a storage room on the first floor and a 445-square-foot master bedroom second-story addition. The applicant also proposes to construct a 75-square-foot second-floor deck on the rear of the dwelling. That is the project in its a nutshell. One thing to add, I did receive some public comment via mail. It was received from the neighbor to the south, and her name is Kim Foster, and her address is 108 Carlo Drive. In general, her comments were regarding protecting her views from the rear of her property toward the mountains. Privacy and neighborhood compatibility were kind of the gist of her comments. The original comment letter was received at the city February 8th, and then she did submit some amended comments to her original letter via email to me, received February 11th. That was basically after she gained some more familiarity with the project of what was actually being proposed. Yeah, it's attached there.
Attached where?
It's attached to the letter that I'm just about to hand out here. So basically, it was amending some of her comments that about the second story specifically, once she learned where it was placed on it. So with that, I'll hand out the letter. And then I can make the letter available to anyone in the audience who's interested as well, the public comment from the neighbor to the south. So if you guys are, would you like one? And then I believe there was a speaker slip submitted as well.
Yes, there is.
That concludes my portion of it.
Okay, so Brian, you're done. So we need to, could you, yes, yes.
I'm Rod Britton. I'm the architect for the owners, actually the owner's son who lives there. and three kids and need more space. Can't go anywhere else in the lot much but up. So this is a little model of what they have now. It's a little low-slung ranch burger, you know. It's like a 1.5 and 12-inch slope. It's proving difficult to work with. But anyway, so we're proposing to take that off. Just put a little. You're not going to cooperate here. There we go. It's going to look something like that. So they have a vaulted ceiling in the living room right now, so that kind of predicates us starting to the right-hand, or my right-hand side, your left-hand side. You guys want to take a look at that.
How big is the second-story addition?
490 or something like that. We have a little balcony on the back. They, my original concept was to have the balcony on the front, but they wanted more. They wanted privacy from the street, so that's why it's. I mean, it's flipped the way from it is now. So,
the second story is 445 square feet with a 75.
And then we're gonna
balcony.
Proposing to add 8.5 feet onto the garage. Right now, it's got a non-conforming shed in the backyard. It's in the setback, and to move it over, it's going to ruin the backyard. So. We just kind of tack it onto the garage, and we keep it low boy like that. That's an existing 6-foot fence, so you're not even really going to see the storage from the street. It's a tough slope to work, roof slope to work with. Yeah, so the master bathroom addition, we're starting at a 7-foot plate over there already. Yeah, we dropped the garage down to a 7'6" headroom. You know, it's just anything to squatty body it.
This projection here, is that correct?
Yes.
And that's for the stairwell?
Yeah, we need, it's designed down to the gnat's ass. I mean, that's as small as I can make it. So it's 2'8".
So the balcony is to the south.
Yeah.
So overlooks
the freeway. Yeah.
You're going to get all that freeway noise.
Yeah.
Why would they want to do that?
Because they didn't want it on the front. They thought that, as I say, this is kind of a retreat for them to get away from their own, you know.
Cecilia, I think you need to turn the microphone on.
I understand. And we've gone back and forth. And actually, we can flip it back the other way if it had to be. It actually works better at the back, too, structurally. We don't have that roof. We don't have a contained drain for that patio in the front, which would be nice for potential water damage.
And I believe we have a speaker slip for public comment. I would like to call him up. Mr. Brennerman.
Chair Herrera, yes. Members of the board. This is another in a string of inappropriate projects. If you've driven the neighborhood, like the architect said, it's a very low-slung neighborhood. The low-slope roofs. The only thing obstructing the view is power poles. They weren't undergrounding power at that time. It's this particular project lends itself to a owner townhouse and rental house. Converting the garage, you know, building a little kitchen in the garage is something your above average handyman can do. You've got basically your living quarters downstairs and a master suite upstairs. And this is getting to be kind of a popular thing. I've seen quite a few of those in my neighborhood where people are adding on to the house a master suite, and then they move into that and rent out the house. So it's a little reverse on the way that people normally do things, but we've got, you know, both of those things going on in the neighborhoods. But this is a single-story, single-family neighborhood, and I think that putting another two-story house out there does not add to the ambiance of the neighborhood, does not improve the property values of the neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We can continue with questions now.
I have a question for staff, just to verify the clear parking requirements for a garage in the city of Goleta are 18 by 18. Is that correct?
The requirements by ordinance are that they be enclosed by a garage. They don't actually specify a size.
Ah.
Our attempt is to get, as an administrative policy, 20 by 20. That isn't always possible with existing garages. Often existing garages were, say, 18 feet wide and given some extra depth for the washer, dryer, and water heater and things like that. So they weren't always square. So what we really look for in the end is functionality. I mean, can it be used functionally to park two cars to meet the ordinance? That's, you know, shy of any other kind of specifics in there, that's all we can do.
Thanks, Ryan.
And Brian, I guess it's my question. You've looked at the structures that exist on the lot now, and you've concluded that it's not possible to gain the additional space that the applicant wants without going to a second story. There's no way to add single-story additions that would gain that equivalent space.
My job is to really analyze what's been proposed. I can give guidance in terms of what's buildable with terms of setbacks and things like that, but you know, it's really up to the applicant to propose something. So.
Well, let me just say, I mean, we had a similar two-story application. I won't say similar. We had a two-story application come in further up the street at 140 Carlo, which was a lot that was at one time owned by Goleta Water District, and they sold the land, and we had the applicant come in, and he wanted a two-story addition. The neighbors to the south and to the north both protested, saying there would be a loss of privacy and solar views on the property to the north. And so the applicant went away and came back with a single-story proposal, which we did approve, and that house has been constructed, and if anybody's driven by it, I mean, it looks very good. So I guess my question is it possible, given the lot size, I mean, it's pretty much the same neighborhood, for single-story addition to be constructed here? And I guess I would address that question to the architect.
Well, if you kind of look at the model here, so this is our front setback, then our secondary front yard setback, rear and side. So we're hard on the back too, and hard on this one. So the only place you can really build would be in the driveway. So it's.
I mean, have you looked at constructing a new garage and then using the old garage as the bedroom storage that you wanted to gain?
No, we haven't explored that. We don't have enough money to do that, to tell you the truth. So to convert that over and then build another separate garage is out of their realm.
And again, I would say there's a house further down Coletta on the north side of Coletta where the property owner did just that. He built a new garage in the front and then converted the existing garage to
family room. Yeah, it's kind of the corner lot thing. Stymies us on this one.
I understand.
Now, which side is the person that was?
Their house sits back over here. If you look on the map, and actually the garage sits right behind our mass, and then the other house is over here.
And if you look at the photos I took from our proposed deck, you'll see that they've got, I don't know, four or five orange trees up there, which have just been freshly pruned. But so that's approximately the view from the deck. Well, it actually is. I mean, the right height anyway.
There. Yeah, I have some photos from the neighboring house looking toward the north, if that would help. It's from their living room looking toward the north.
Mm-hmm. So these photos taken at eye level, looking.
Yeah, I'm standing on the on the deck. Well, would be the deck. I'm standing on the existing roof, garage roof. That's exactly the same height as if I was standing on the deck.
Oh, okay.
So, and these trees have been pruned down.
Pruned down. Yes.
They're actually as tall as that avocado.
Chopped down about 15.
So, you know, I just don't. Yeah, we looked at the privacy because they wanted to see what they're going to see.
Okay.
They're going to see green. Right?
Thank you.
You can actually see a little bit of the water from there. I'm in the customer service business.
Are we at a point for comments, Chair?
I believe so, or if anybody has any more questions, or if not, go on to comments.
If I could, because I need to be going in a little bit. When I first looked at the plans and first drove out to see the project, I got to confess I wasn't really in love with the second floor being where it was. Normal. There is no such thing as normal, I guess. But typically the preferred location would have been right tucked in the angle of the L.
Right.
But I was rather surprised because I didn't talk with Mrs. Foster, but I talked with Mr. Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that 108 Calida?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, much to my surprise, where it is now is a lot less obtrusive than where it would have been if I had have put it somewhere in the angle. The only thing I got to say is I really, really, really am not in love with the balcony.
Okay.
I think that does interfere with the privacy of the neighbors to the south. But other than that, as much as I probably normally wouldn't say it, I got to say I kind of agree that where it is probably the best place for it.
Great.
That's all I got to say.
For me, I think it's the issue of privacy, and particularly since we saw the pictures of the house to the south in their backyard, I don't really think it's appropriate that they have a balcony that overlooks their yard. I wouldn't want somebody building a balcony that would do that. I have a neighbor that did that, and I mean, it's two houses away, but I just don't think a balcony is appropriate there. I'm okay with where it is. It's a corner lot. It probably can carry it. It's somewhat set back from the Coletta. It'll be noticeable from Carlo, but I do like this. I do like how you've designed it. I think it's rather nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, but no balcony on this.
I went out there and I drove around. I went looking for. It took me a minute to find the one that we had approved up Carlo because
it fits in.
Because it fits in so well. Mm-hmm. But again, I think you know that was a bigger lot and it was, you know, sandwiched within a row of houses. This is a different condition. It's on this corner. I took a drive around and looked for any other two stories that had happened, and there were some down here.
Mm-hmm. Did you see them?
They were horrible. They were really bad.
Pre-design review board.
They were done before I think people had eyes or
thank you, County of San Marcos.
Whatever. Anyway, you know, obviously, you go around, you want to see neighborhood compatibility. So in terms of precedence, there's already, there are two stories in the area. I think as I kind of drove around, I looked, you know, I was kind of with Tom. I looked at the plan. I thought, why are you putting it there? You know, and that really is the place that makes sense after you get out there and look at it. So I think I'm okay with it. Typically, this board second floor balconies in Glade are few and far between.
What if we put it on the front?
Yeah,
that would probably be okay because you're not there's not a privacy issue there at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people just that's just been a typical that's been kind of a typical thing of this board of being real leery of balconies next to people's lots. So when they face the streets, then that's when they seem to be okay. So other than that, I don't know. I think it's okay.
There's door windows on the side.
I'd like to go next if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. I did talk with the Fosters on Sunday, and I brought over the set of plans that I got in the packet and showed it to them. And I think that's was why Mrs. Foster sent in the email that she now knows that the second floor addition is proposed to go over the garage, which was her suggestion in her original letter. And both she and her husband seem to think that it's a foregone conclusion that the design review board is going to approve a second story addition. And I told her, well, that's, you know, not necessarily been the case. There were the house further up on Carlo, and there was one on Vega Drive, too, where the neighbor to the north complained about there was a solar issue and a privacy issue with the second story. But they seem to be resigned to the fact that this is going to happen, that second story addition is going to be approved. And the fact that it is going over the garage, I think, is very much a relief to them that from their living room they will still have some mountain view looking directly to the north and to the northeast. But again, as my colleagues have said, they really have a problem with the balcony. And I think one of the findings that we have to make, number 19 says the project architecture will respect the privacy of neighbors and is considerate of private views and solar access. And really, I don't think we can make that finding with the balcony located the way that it is. And I think they were also on the issue of the storage. They were wondered why the need for the extra storage. Now they know that the existing storage shed is going to go away, and they're gaining storage as a result of it. So I think, you know, overall, locating the second floor addition where it is, it's going to provide the extra space that the residents need. I mean, they do have a growing family. They need the extra room. It's going to look pretty good, I think, from a design standpoint. And if we could just do something about the balcony, I would be prepared to support the project.
Chris?
excuse me. I, too, have an issue with the balcony, but also next to the balcony is windows back in there, because if you look up the bathrooms and then you look up, you know, the outside, the south elevation, thank you. I think there's going to be some big changes needed on that, maybe some more type of clear story type windows instead to help give the privacy to the neighbors.
Well, that sliding glass wall obviously gone, so.
Yeah, I understand. But, I mean, I look at the bathroom and the shower and the toilet, and those are pretty dang big windows there. So I just think it needs to be looked at.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a...
The windows in general on that side.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, we obviously have to rework the whole south side.
So. All right. Because I know there was a project we had, and we put clear stories, and the neighbor next door was happy with that. At least they didn't feel like someone looking down on them.
We're hoping that this little pooch out the end where we're capturing that stair could be like a little sunny spot to sit and read or something like that. So it's like kind of a quiet spot in the house, but we can work the windows.
If I could make a comment on that. At the home that my wife and I have, at the top of our stairway, there's this large landing that's just big enough for a bookshelf and a easy chair and a little table and light. It's our favorite spot in the whole house.
Yeah.
Our regret is it's not big enough for both of us. but it's the windows that light it are the windows face west, but they're high up, mm-hmm. clear story. Small square windows, and they light that space very, very well. So. I think you can get with a smaller or higher window there, you can still make it nice and light,
yeah.
and very, very usable, but be able to cut down any privacy issues with the neighbors.
That's the ninth time you said that.
Hey, Carl?
I think actually... the design ties in quite well. I was very pleased to see that you did such a nice job in staying with the low, even though it's a very low sloped roof. You know, you stayed with it, and at least from the street, when you looked at this, you probably wouldn't really sense that it had been done at some other time. So I want to compliment you on that. I'm on board with the balcony not being there. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, it needs to look to the corner and to the north. We're not creating a privacy issue. I also agree with Chris in that I'm not so concerned about the shower and the bath window, because those are quite a ways away from where the house is. But the one coming up the stair, I think, as Tom just mentioned, could be a high clear story type situation where somebody's not standing there looking down into that yard next door. The way that whole kind of stair form cantilevers out kind of bothers me a little bit, but it's in the back and probably not a big deal. I think the one thing, the way you've got it designed right now, and if you really do consider flipping the balcony, is probably going to hurt it, is the way you've got it designed from the front with the low sloped roof coming across the second story, yeah. and around. That works really well right now.
You're going to get a little pony wall across here.
Yeah. I mean, if we can keep some soft roof there, you know, that one-story roof, I think it would be really nice to do that.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep the fascia line on that.
And I certainly appreciate the fact that you're doing the little storage room. I think that works really well. I have a concern about just the functionality of the garage just from a space standpoint. I mean, there's literally only 18 feet
mm-hmm.
from wall to stairway. So you know, to really say you're putting two cars in there is, you know, and being able to get out is maybe a little bit of a stretch. I'm not sure. So I don't know if there's some way to move that western wall of the garage, decrease the storage a little bit, and give you a little bit more room in the garage. And I, you know,
on the western side, that's the existing condition. You know, that wall, that door, is 6 inches.
Yeah, but you're taking the roof all off of this thing and reframing it. So with the floor, so
we're open not to. Like to keep that wall and the foundation. So I mean, that's what my engineer.
You know, I mean, literally the garage door.
We could,
is right
we could
along that wall,
off.
So maybe you could header off a portion and create a little alcove for the doors to swing or something, because it's going to be, I mean, I mean, I can imagine there's not going to be two cars in that garage. There's going to be one.
I doubt if anybody will ever park in the garage, right?
maybe, you know.
Yeah, when we that's one of the things when we researched the project, talking about, you know, the actual size, and 400 square foot seemed to be the
magic
number, and I think we got 404 or 405 or something like that. The owners, the wife, her dad is Jorgensen Cabinets, so he's going to redo their kitchen for them. And but right now, the washer dryer's in the kitchen, so we're going to try and put a stacker out underneath that stair. So it just kind of, and then it was, you know, it's all so offloaded that side. You know, we had about 8 feet, so if we took half of that to squeeze the stair in again. So.
Right. So, I mean, that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I have my comment is just that I'm on board with all the, with everyone, just the balcony also facing the street, and the do the necessary adjustments to the windows, looking towards your neighbor, towards the neighbor. And that is it.
Amazing, old school, huh?
Yeah. Did you do that, or did you have one of your office members?
Underling. He worked late last night and did it. That would be me.
Okay. I'm a big fan of models. Nice to be able to build a model now and then instead of doing a CAD rendering.
Well, you can see it and pick it up, and you can actually get down and see where the fence is so that you know that you're not going to see the storage. You know, all this.
Right. Cut out one rectangle, cut out another one, and then pull them together and glue
them. Are we ready for motion?
This is for conceptual, so we need to come back for
tomorrow night. I can be here for the next
tomorrow night.
I think they want the room pretty quickly.
We don't meet again until March.
Oh, yeah, the second meeting. Second meeting of this month just got canceled today.
Excellent.
March 13th, I think it is.
So is that, what is it, the second Tuesday then?
Yep. Yeah.
So what is March 13th? Scott, is it March?
Yes.
March 27th. If instead of having just a simple...
March 27th?
13th.
Sorry. I heard the second meeting. Unless, of course, you'd want the 27th.
Nope.
We could accommodate that. March 13th is the next meeting. But instead of just having a continue with comments, if we can have a lucky member of the DRB enumerate the comments, that would be appreciated.
All right. Is this an actual motion or?
This would be the actual motion.
Okay. I make a motion for continuance and that the applicant revisit the design, that the balcony to the south be removed and possibly study a balcony on the north side, further reduce window size on the south side to preserve privacy of the property to the south. And I think
garage.
Oh, and, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, and studying the garage to see about getting a little more room for car accessibility, and the board also acknowledges and appreciates the efforts of the architect in producing a design that conforms with the original design of the house.
Thank you. Okay. I've got one question regarding this window. So you're coming up the stairs, kind of a nice thing. To have a little clerestory window would be kind of weird. What if we just kind of skinnied this up and put just a single narrow window down there? You know, because it would be weird to go up there and see a wall and then a ribbon window across the top.
Well,
you'd want to turn sideways so you could actually see the tree.
I don't know. Where we are, it's not a ribbon window. It's two square windows side by side. It's a different house, different location. I can't speak for the whole board. I'm not really wild about anything really long running down there.
I'd agree. I think it comes back to, you know, just trying to preserve as much privacy for the, you know, and that's a transition space. And while I understand architecturally wanting to come up and see that view out there, it's probably somewhat inappropriate here.
Okay, so we have a motion. We don't have a second.
Second.
Okay. Sure.
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, the window location, as you're going up the stairs, the window that you're talking about is actually at your back, right? When you get up to the landing,
up to the front of the stairs, you're standing here looking out, looking towards
the landing. Towards is at the south.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're heading south as you go up the stairs.
Right.
until you turn around.
You have that window on.
I'm sorry. We're just, yeah, we're confused by up and down arrows. Yeah. So now we have the, okay. All right. Okay.
So we have a motion by Member Smith, seconded by Member Brown. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. So we'll be coming back on the 13th.
Is it 13th? See you next month.
Thank you.
And I also have to excuse myself from the board a bit early. I'm sorry. So.
Okay. Thank you. Tom?
Happy hour?
Tom?
Happy hour?
Could be. It's St. Valentine's Day.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we've just completed J1. That will move to K. Conceptual calendar, seeing there's none, we'll move to L, advisory calendar. There's none. We'll move to M, discussion items. M1, request for future agenda items by members. Seeing there's none, we'll move to M2, announcements by members. Okay, adjourn.
Yes.
Oh, yes, okay, apologize.
Sorry.
It's okay. Mr. Member Wignett?
Can I go back to M1?
M1.
And one of the things that we did want at some point was the as-built slideshow, and I'm wondering what the status is on that. Not to put extreme pressure on anybody, but...
None felt. It's something that's on our to-do list that we want to bring back to you. It's a matter of caseload and everything else, so we're juggling it with all of our other responsibilities. I don't have an estimated date for you as of this point in time. It's the one squishy bonus project we get to work on, and as other heavier projects squish it down, it keeps getting
just so it stays in the queue.
It most definitely is in the queue.
Okay, that was M1. So M2, announcement by members. Okay, it's time to adjourn. Thank you.
Should I take the time?